This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Each weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, your Q, presented by Premier Insurance Group. Here is Shannon Sebastian with your Q on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, good afternoon. It is 4:06 and 82 degrees. Shannon Sebastian is out today. And here's Tiffany Faust with your Q.
Thank you, Dale. Welcome to Your Q, sponsored by Premier Insurance, where we are here to celebrate, uplift, and educate the wonderful people of Douglas County. I'm Tiffany, and I'll be your host this afternoon, filling in for Shannon Sebastian, who hasn't quite been feeling well, but it sounds like that she'll may be able to make it back to the studio next week, which is super exciting. Last week on Your Q, we thought it would be a good idea to honor and celebrate this special show by replaying the very first episode. We really hope you enjoyed it. Shannon is the founder and creative mind behind the show, and of course she is. It takes a special kind of love for our community and humanity as a whole to create something so thoughtful, loving, and positive that surely leaves a loving ripple in the hearts of others. We miss you so very much, Shannon, and I know that I can speak for so many others when I say that we can't wait to be blessed with your presence and your heart of gold once again on Your Q here. It is truly an honor to be here today in your place. I'm not sure I'll be able to really fill your shoes, but I'll give it my best. On that note, I also want to confess that I have never hosted a live show before, so I apologize in advance for any hiccups along the way. I had a meeting last week with Alan Painter, the owner of Premier Insurance, who said, "You know, Tiffany, I think you'd do a fabulous job hosting the show. I know you can do it." Meanwhile, my heart is sinking in my chest like, yeah, that sounds really honorable, but I don't know, Alan. And boom, here I am. And now when I think about it, I feel that what's really gotten me here today is those exact words. I know you can do it. Aren't those powerful? They just chip away at doubt and make it possible for us to adopt them. So I've decided, in the light of this reminder, I'm going to challenge myself to repeat these words as often as I can. Thank you so much, Alan, for encouraging me to face my doubts with bravery. So today on Your Q, we have three special guests lined up. Our first guest here with us today is going to share how he's turning the loss of his father, who's recently passed away, into a lightful celebration for the whole community to enjoy. Welcome to the show, Keith.
Thank you.
First, I want to start by saying I'm really sorry for the loss of your father and your family's loss. Losing a loved one is never easy on the heart.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
So coming up here on September 18th, you and your family are going to be hosting a Celebration of Life Memorial Ride honoring your father, Jim Watson, also known as Bubba, who is a very well-known man in the Myrtle Creek area. Tell us a little bit about your family's event.
We'll be meeting at Pizza Palace in Myrtle Creek at 11 a.m. Kickstands up at 12 noon. Motorcycles and Jeeps are welcome. We'll be riding the South County Toy Run Route and ending at Millsite Park in Myrtle Creek for a service at 2 p.m. He rode that route several years doing the toy run.
Wow, that is amazing. And so generous of him to take part in such an important community event. That is wonderful. Is your dad originally from this area?
He was raised in the Sutherland, Oakland area, but has lived in the Myrtle Creek area for the last 30 years.
Okay. Yeah, that's a big chunk of time. And that's funny. I graduated from Oakland, so I'm from that area as well. What are some passions that your dad enjoyed in his youth?
He enjoyed spending time with his grandparents. They had a huge ranch out in Rice Valley. He loved hunting, fishing. Spending time with his grandparents was his huge passion.
Awesome. Well, that sounds like a very significant childhood out there on the ranch in nature. That I think that is every boy's dream out there.
He loved it.
That's amazing. Yeah. I bet. So you mentioned earlier in a conversation that your dad served in the military. How would you describe his position and experience in the military?
He was in the Navy. He was a Vietnam vet. He loved the Navy and his country. He's always said he would serve again if needed. He was very passionate about the military.
Wow. Well, it sounds like he is a true man of service.
He definitely was.
So in his experience, where did he travel? What was his traveling like?
All through Japan. I think he said he went to Hawaii a couple times and to Vietnam.
Wow, that's really awesome. It sounds like he was really able to broaden, his horizons with the living in different areas like that.
He did. He mentioned several times about the different cultures and food. He was definitely a food person, so he was nice. Very, very talkative about experiencing the different cultures.
Wow, that is great. Sounds like a very open-minded person.
He was.
Well, I would think that there is a place where, you know, you sit and look around in Hawaii and you're like, well, shoot, this is a good deal. That's really cool. So when he returned home from the military, what occupation did he pursue?
He went back to school. He went to the U of O in Eugene. He studied forestry. He worked in the woods and construction till he went to work for the city of Myrtle Creek. But he was very passionate about making things better in Myrtle Creek. That was his big thing.
Wow, that is a lot that you just put together there with him going. So he got back from the military, and then he went to pursue an education.
He did, yeah. He used the GI Bill, I believe, and he went into forestry and started working in the woods and then fell into construction. And then he got on with the city of Myrtle Creek and just worked his way up. He ended up being the public works director in Myrtle Creek.
Wow.
The water treatment plant, he helped get that passed for the city.
That's so huge.
It was huge. It was kind of his big thing. He was passionate about a lot of things with the city.
That is amazing to have such an effect on so many people in the community. Wow. So in what other ways has he shared his generous heart with the community?
He belonged to the Volunteer Myrtle Creek Fire Department, which he was there as a secretary and wrote many grants for the fire department while working for the city. He also wrote grants to fund projects for the city. He was helped when needed, didn't matter who you were. He was always a very giving man. Even after he left the fire department, he helped him write the grants for him.
Wow. Yeah. That is just such a, you know, I feel like those kinds of tasks, you know, you're really the inside person, probably not receiving much of the recognition, but really a strong hand in the development.
The paper pusher. I mean, yeah. He was definitely that, but he was very instrumental in a lot of the things that they got passed.
Well, that is wonderful. So your dad's life is surely a true example of service to others. What are some hobbies that of his that he was able to enjoy for himself?
He loved spending time with his wife, his loving wife, my mom, and his children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. He loved to fish hunt. He loved riding his Harley with his wife and his friends. Most recently, he enjoyed jeeping with his wife and friends. He had a heart attack a few years and decided the Harley was not the best thing. So they got rid of that and got into Jeeps, full roll cage, everything. They would take that everywhere.
Well, that sounds like so much fun. I'm sure your mom was happy about that switch.
She loved riding on the bike, but the Jeep, I mean, they did a ghost town trip, I think about 2 years ago, and just camped along the way, them and a couple of friends.
Yeah. Wow, that would be so fun. I've always wanted to do that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. Did you go on some of those adventures with him?
I did not. I don't have a Jeep, and I worked. I have the Harley, but not the Jeep.
Yes, well, and you have explained how much you work, so you're very dedicated to your work. So what do you think that he would like to most be remembered for?
His love of family and friends and our Lord Jesus Christ. He went to church for several years. He was very, very involved.
Wow. Well, I don't know him, but I can already tell that I admire the kind of man and heart that he has. What do you feel are some of the lifelong values that he passed down to his children?
Learning to love one another, forgive and move on with the Lord by your side. We always have forgiveness. Truth, honesty, loyalty, caring for one another, and family is most important. Family doesn't always have to be blood. So
absolutely. No. And that is just a very true illustration of, I think, the right life, the good life. And that's amazing. How many children did he have?
My sister and I are his stepkids, and then we have two younger brothers.
Okay.
So
So he was cramming as many kids in that Jeep as he could.
Yeah.
What do you feel is the most helpful advice that he has shared with you?
Follow your heart. Follow your heart. Love's out there. You'll find it. Stick with it.
Yes.
Yeah. Be very forgiving and caring.
That is the most valuable advice that anyone can give.
Absolutely.
That's great. If someone wanted to donate funds to help the family cover some of the difficult costs that come with the passing of a loved one, how would they go about that?
So we're going to do a memorial plaque and place it in the city of Myrtle Creek. We've spoke with them. So there is a service that we're doing on the 18th at Millsite Park, and there'll be a place for donations.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. So, and then also for your event, do you have a Facebook event that's been created? Or
I don't do social media.
Oh,
I'm not
okay.
a Facebook. My daughter has posted it on Facebook, mm-hmm. on her account, I believe, and I can ask her to go and start up an event on there.
Okay, yeah, that's always helpful to get the word out with social media. Now, also, if anyone is interested in lending the family a helping hand during this time, is there someone that they could contact to lead them in the right direction?
They can contact myself at 541-680-3741 or my daughter, Robin, at 541-670-3578.
Well, very good. Thank you so much, Keith. One more question.
Sure.
What kind of Jeep did he have?
A Wrangler.
Oh, he had a Wrangler.
Yeah,
okay.
An older one, yeah.
And he got all the bells and whistles for that?
He was on that thing doing things to it constantly. Even
yeah.
after his passing, there was still stuff showing up. I spent a few hours putting some of the things on for my mom, so...
That is awesome. Yeah. Was he ever a part of, like, one of those Jeep clubs?
I believe, well, him and a bunch of his older friends, they used to meet at the OT every Thursday, and they all had Jeeps, and they would all do their little event stuff.
So. That is so much fun. He sounds just like such an adventurous spirit.
He was. Definitely was.
Well, you know, we do have a couple minutes. I actually, you know, just thinking about the kind of man that he was, it reminds me of this quote by Theodore Roosevelt called "The Man in the Arena." It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out the strong man's stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, who speaks himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows, in the end, the triumph of a high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. And I just think that his life is a beautiful expression of that. Thank you so much for being with us here, Keith, and everybody should check out the memorial of Jim Bubba Watson. 11 o'clock to meet at Pizza Palace in Tri-City on September 18th, and kickstands up at noon.
Jeeps welcome.
Oh, yes, and Jeeps welcome. Jeeps
yes.
and motorcycles alike.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All righty, we'll be right back with another guest on Your Cue this afternoon on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It is 419.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. It is 4:23, and now in for Shannon Sebastian. There's more with Tiffany Faust on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thank you, Dale. Welcome back. I'm Tiffany Faust, and you're listening to Your Cue, sponsored by Premier Insurance. We have a very special guest in the studio with us today. She has a huge heart and an even bigger passion for our community. Please welcome the president of the Roseburg Rotary Club, Mimi Tenold. Hi, Mimi. How are you doing this fine afternoon?
Hi, Tiffany. Good, thank you. And thank you for inviting me today.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's such a pleasure having you.
It's great meeting you.
I am just so excited that you're here today. You have such a kind presence about you, and I'm also very much looking forward to learning more about this wonderful group that you have here in Roseburg.
And I think in many ways it's the best kept secret, which is unfortunate because if more people knew about it, about Rotary, they'd want to be members.
I can only imagine that you are 100% correct. I can only imagine the fulfillment that your group feels doing the wonderful projects that you're able to do. So first, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Well, let's say, excuse me, to abbreviate it, I was born and raised in Wisconsin. I lived in Boston area for 12 years before moving to California. And then my husband and I moved 10 years ago to this area.
Okay, what brought you guys here?
Well, he's from Oregon originally, so it was his goal to move back, and I love it, and I'm glad he did. But fast forwarding to 1987 in my life, women were never permitted to become members in many male organizations, as you, well, you might not recall, but anyway. And in 1987, that changed. So I was honored to be the first female invited to join the former all-men's organization of 82 years, a Rotary Club in California. And I was also their first female president in 1996-97.
Oh my goodness, that is amazing and definitely something to celebrate. That's just so inspiring. So how would you describe Rotary as an organization? What is the philosophy and general objectives of Rotary?
Rotary was the first service organization in the United States, founded in 1905 by three business owners in Chicago. And 16 years later, they became an international organization and changed their name from Rotary to Rotary International, which happened in 1921. And today there's about 1.2 million members worldwide.
Wow.
In Rotary International. It's such an awesome organization to be a part of. Their motto is service above self. And with Rotary's high ethics standards, they have a four-way test, which was developed for us Rotarians to ask ourselves in everything we do. Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it provide goodwill and better friendship? And will it be beneficial to all concerned?
That is just astounding. I feel like everybody should live their lives asking those same questions. That is just very admirable to have as, you know, a structure for an organization. So this is a very special year for your Rotary Club. Can you explain to our listeners why that is?
Well, only 17 years after the start of the first Rotary Club, our Roseburg Rotary Club was chartered. And that was February 2nd, 1922. We were the first service club in Roseburg and the oldest club in our Rotary International District of 68 clubs that go from Salem to the coast and to Northern California. So, yeah, we are celebrating 100 years of service to change lives in our community, our world, and ourselves.
That is so exciting. I mean, that's a long time and such an accomplishment.
Well, and we invite the community to celebrate with us, and we'll have further information on that later on.
Ooh, we will have to stay tuned with that. That is really exciting to know. Now, what kind of fundraisers does your Rotary Club put on to raise funds for community projects?
Some of the fundraisers include our lamb auction, our Festival of Lights. We started that 26 years ago. For 17 years, we ran the duck race. And our livestock auction, we started that in 1967 with the 4-H to benefit 4-H and FFA youth, as well as provide scholarships in our community. There's more projects, fundraisers that we've done, but I'd rather focus more on our projects that we've provided to the community.
Yeah, no, that would be amazing to hear more of the projects, actually. I'm sorry, I kind of skipped ahead there. Thank you.
So most of our annual community projects are provided with matching grant up to $2,000 by our Rotary International District, which is 5110. And it's the surrounding area that I mentioned. So just to name a few, because you can imagine 100 years of providing community service to help change lives. That's a lot. So most recently, last year, we had a wild relief fund that many people donated to. We were able to provide needs for the firemen, and we worked closely with the Glide Revitalization to help displaced families with their needs. And our other project, in conjunction with that, was we provided every displaced child from infant to college gifts of essentials and some of their preferences too. But we just felt they lost so much. Not only are they displaced, but they lost everything.
Their livelihood. Yeah, that is absolutely incredible.
And you might be familiar with the river rescue stations that we established and we worked with the YMCA in partnership with. We provide scholarships to high school and college students. We provided computer tablets to the Fir Grove Elementary School, replaced the library after the fire at the Looking Glass School. And we have an Interact Club, which is like a Rotary on a younger age. So the age is from 12 to 18, and they do very similar things that we do, but they decide what they're going to take on. They've done donations for world projects, and they always do something for our community. And it's a good opportunity for the youth to learn leadership skills and the importance of service above self. And those three words are so powerful.
So powerful, yes.
And we have RILA, which is a Rotary Youth Leadership Program with our district, and we sponsor three kids, and we also have exchange students that we sponsor both ways. So we get an exchange student in Roseburg, as well as we send one of our students there. And we've been doing that since 1965, although I have to say COVID has definitely impacted that for a few years. We used to provide dictionaries to every third grader. And we assisted in the UCC tragedy, and just so many projects.
I cannot even, when you said that it's the best kept secret, you were not lying. Those are huge community projects that really just are foundational for our community. So, I mean, I can't even, you just really just expressed a lot of wonderful contributions.
And, you know, part of that being the best-kept secret is not unique to our city or our club. It's everywhere, worldwide. So many people don't realize what Rotary International and their individual clubs and their districts do for their communities and worldwide. We've done international projects where we can tribute for water sanitation and different things like that. But the reason why I think it's the best kept secret is because of our motto of Rotary.
Yes, hence
service above self.
Absolutely.
So it's not about boasting about what we're doing. We just do it.
Right.
But we've come to a point that we've realized that we really need to tell people about what we're doing because we're depriving them from being a part of our organization. They, too, can be Rotarians, and we're not giving them that opportunity if they don't know all the things we do.
I think that that's a wonderful idea. I just think that the more stories that are heard of, you know, service above self, inspire others to live the same way. And I cannot even say enough, as a mother of four children, how wonderful it is to hear that there is a program for the youth that teaches them how to live that way. That is extraordinary and I think pivotal for their future.
It is. And it's so amazing to hear. We also have a speech contest for the high school students. And it's so amazing to hear them speak.
I can only imagine. We are actually coming up on a break here. So we're going to go ahead and take a break for a brief moment, and we will return shortly.
All righty. Thanks, Tiffany. We will be right back with another guest, Marty. She's going to talk about the races coming up this weekend on Your Q, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Alrighty, it's 4:39, and here is more of Your Q with Tiffany in for Shannon Sebastian on Your Q, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thank you, Dale. Welcome back, guys. So we still have Mimi Tenold here in the studio. We just have a few more topics to touch on here. So we would just like to know a little bit more information for people who might be interested in joining your organization. So how often does your club meet?
Actually, we meet weekly, and it's only 1 hour long. And our members have a choice of being at the noon club or after five club. And we meet at the Roseburg Country Club. So we also have once a month one of our meetings, we try to have an evening fellowship, and we invite the spouse to come. And we really want to include the family as much as possible.
That is wonderful. And how many members does your Rotary Club have? And how can someone join if interested?
We have about 70 members. Our newest one came in last week, so that brought it to 70. And anyone can go to our website or call us or text us at 541-900-6132.
Perfect. And then do you guys have a Facebook page?
We do. So you can find us on Facebook, too.
Great. And then is there a website as well?
Yes, we do have the website. And it's roseburgrotary.org. And if you give us a call or reach out to us, we'd be happy to tell you more about Rotary and how you can help get involved.
Very good. And now just one more thing. As a longtime member of the Rotary International, what message would you share with our listeners?
If you're the type of person that wants to give back to your community, that wants to be involved with humanitarian projects, not only locally, but worldwide, want to meet people all over the world, and you're people of action, you want to do things, as well as fellowship, meeting new people, and getting involved in your passions, in helping others. But you say, oh, I'm too busy, I can't be involved. With all of that, including being too busy, then you are already a Rotarian. You just don't realize it yet because you haven't attended one of our meetings to see how all of us Rotarians are very busy and somehow always find time to help our community.
That is so helpful. Thank you so much for being here today, Mimi. And I would encourage everyone to go check out the Roseburg Rotary Club. It sounds like such an important group to be a part of. So thanks again so much. You've been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Tiffany. I've enjoyed it. And Rotary is my passion. So I love talking about it. And
very good. Well, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
And so our next guest here on Your Cue, our third and final guest, is one of our very own here in the office. Marty Cox is not only the Director of Billing and Traffic here at Burt Communications, but she's also representative of the Pacific Racing Association, more commonly known as PRA. Hey, Marty, welcome to the KQEN station, which is very conveniently located from your desk.
It is, very much so. Thanks for having me today, Tiffany.
Of course, thanks for being here. So, how would you describe the PRA as an organization?
So, the Pacific Racing Association is a not-for-profit organization here in Douglas County that is a board-ran organization of about 200 members is what's our total membership, and we are actually an automobile racing association. And we race out at the fairgrounds that, you know, most people don't know that there's actually a speedway out there. It's a 0.4-mile asphalt speedway, and it's just out there at the fairgrounds. Nobody even knows that it's there. So that's where we're at.
Well, a few people know where it's at, but yes. I hear what you're saying.
Yes.
It's kind of its own entity over there.
For sure.
So you are a board member, is that correct?
I am. So there's a total of 8 of us on the board together. We spend countless hours making sure that the fairground or that the speedway runs accordingly. We rent it from the fairgrounds, so we have to, you know, kind of coincide with them in order to get everything going and make sure that everything runs perfectly. And our relationship with them is really great out there. And, you know, it's kind of a funny story where how the PRA got started out there. We were originally we were established in 1952 out at the old speedway. And then a group of guys went down to California and saw another racing organization doing races at the fairgrounds and petitioned for us to start racing at the fairgrounds. So in the early 60s, that happened. And for a year, they took a year off while the new grandstands were being built. And then we have been racing there ever since, off and on. We took about a 10-year hiatus in the late 90s, early 2000s. A promoter took over out there and PRA kind of disbanded. And then in about, I think it was like 2006, 2007, we came back and we've been going strong ever since then.
Wow, that is like just such a good, strong story of, you know, perseverance and growth. I mean, and that's a long time to be, you know, to be an organization.
Absolutely. Our organization is very family oriented. We see lots of parents, grandparents, parents, kids, grandkids. We even have one family out there that has great grandkids racing.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's, and sometimes you see all those generations racing in the same class together, which is a lot of fun because when you're a family member of them, you don't know who to root for.
And
yeah, it turns into, it's a lot of fun. And it's really cool to see, you know, grandpa out there with their grandson or granddaughter teaching them the ropes. It's interesting to see. You know, it's not just a boys' sport. Girls do it, too. There's quite a few of us out there. Our board of directors is actually more women than men this year. Yeah, it's very cool. It's a lot of fun. And a lot of our volunteers are, you know, women and men that love racing. A lot of them don't race. They just come out and participate just for the fun of it.
I bet it's a whole lot of fun.
It is. It's so much fun. We've had, you know, a rough couple years with COVID, as everybody else has. Last season, we only raced 3 races. They were successful, thanks to our community. You know, they joined in, they pitched in, they helped us do what we needed to do. This season, we've had 7 races so far. We have 3 left. Our last race that we just had on the 14th was our backpack and school giveaway, school supply giveaway, and we gave away 109 backpacks to students that were in attendance that night.
That's huge.
It was huge. Every kid that was there got a backpack. So, and they all had school supplies in them. So they started their year off right. And it was UCC Fan Appreciation Night last race. And so everybody got into the grandstands for free. And they, you know, got a free backpack when they left.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. What a great service to the community and yeah. for the children. That is just incredible.
Yeah, it's an annual thing that we do. And so this weekend, it's, you know, our annual bike giveaway. We raise funds throughout the year. And that's our current fundraiser. We're still looking for bikes if anybody wants to donate one.
How can they donate one?
How can they donate? So the easiest way currently is Savannah Jones from Sunrise Enterprises has stepped up to the plate and become our like liaison for this whole masterpiece this year because she's amazing.
I second that.
Yeah. Our person that normally does it was out for a couple weeks, so we weren't able to like facilitate everything that was going on. And so she stepped up and was like, I got you, boo. And so anybody can get a hold of Savannah by phone or text at 541-860-8725. Or you can contact us on we have two separate Facebook pages, one at Sunrise Enterprises or one at Douglas County Speedway. Because PRA is Douglas County Speedway, so that's what our Facebook page is under because that's what people look for.
Okay, very cool. Well, that's really good information.
Yeah.
And you said that we just have a few minutes left. So let's go ahead and go on a break. And we will be back, Marty and I, here on Your Cue, sponsored by Premier Insurance.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
It's 4:52, and now for Shannon Sebastian, here's more from Tiffany Faust on News Radio 1240 KQEN. I'll get your name right one of these days, Tiffany.
Oh, you're just fine, Dale. Thank you. Welcome back, folks. You're listening to the final segment of Your Cue, sponsored by Premier Insurance. And I'm in the studio here with Marty Cox, and she's on the board of the Pacific Racing Association. Marty, you had mentioned just before we went to break that there are three races left. Which ones are those?
There are. So this weekend is on Saturday the 28th is Winchester Pub and Grill Sport Mod Shootout along with the Great Bike Giveaway. So each kid under the age of 16 will get to enter to win one of 50 plus bikes. 22 local businesses and community members have stepped up and helped us get these bikes. I do want to send out a huge shout out to a couple people, Savannah Jones, Sunrise Enterprise, Umpqua Liquidations. That's like all one big happy family. They're amazing. They've done so great for us. Like big kudos to them. I want to send out a huge shout out to Chris Newman at Patriot Stump Grinding. He provided help on not only donating, but he's helping put together bikes and load and unload bikes and do all that fantastic stuff. And then I want to give a shout out to our local Walmart store. They gave us a 15% discount on all the bikes that we purchased this year so that we could get more bikes, which was awesome. There's a whole list of people that I could thank out there. Roseburg Towing, Umpqua Survival, Patriot Automotive, Fink & Sons. Like there's, like I said, 22 local business owners, local community members that have stepped up, racers that come out and give us bikes each year. Like there are so many people that I just don't have enough time to give them all the love, but they deserve all the love because they're giving these kids free bikes and to see those little kids with their like faces light up. Aww. And it's so awesome. And then on 9/11, we have the Hornet Nest 100. And during that race each year, we give first responders free admission into the races with their ID cards. They can come out. They can enjoy a race on us because of all the stuff that they do in our community. They're amazing. We love them. We want to give back to them. You know, it's just a big night, a big memorial this year, you know, 20 years. So it's a big deal to us. And then our last race of the year is the 18th. It's championship night. This is our last regular season race. It's championship night. Everybody's battling for points. There's lots of, you know, grudge matches out there between, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so where they're only like 10 points apart, you know. So we have that. And then in October, we have the Track or Treat, which is our annual trick-or-treat event for the kids. I can't remember the date right off my head, but because I didn't write it down because I'm a bad person. But but that's one to look for on our Facebook page. Like, again, I said, DouglasCountySpeedway.com, Track or Treat. That'll be in October. But I do want to put out there that this weekend's race, it starts at 6 o'clock. That's when the races start. Gates open at 4. 16 and over, it's $15. 6 years to 15 years is $5. Seniors, military, and vets are $8. Kids 5 and under are free. There is also the option of the family pass, which is $30, which includes 2 adults, 16 and over, and unlimited kids. So you can bring all your little hooligans out to try and win a bike. And that's why we do these family passes, is to get everybody involved in the community out there and to get these young kids involved in something that maybe isn't your traditional sport. You know, everybody's like, oh, take your kid out for football or soccer or whatever. And not every kid is into that. I wasn't into that stuff. I was a bookworm, and my parents, you know, I'm a fifth generation racer at that racetrack, or fourth generation. My kids are fifth. And I so enjoy it, and it's so much fun and so interesting, and you learn so many things. You learn, you know, you learn camaraderie and friendship and sportsmanship, and you learn how to do a budget if you're a race car driver, because, you know, that stuff can get really expensive. And, you know, you learn how to save your gas and stuff like that, and do all these different things. And then we also have the aspect of giving back to our community, where we, you know, do these bike giveaways and school supply giveaways. And, you know, annually we normally have one nonprofit organization like Camp Millennium or Relay for Life, or there's a few other ones that we've been a part of where we give a portion of our proceeds back to these organizations, other organizations here locally, local chapters of them, so that we can do good too. You know, there's 200 of us in this membership. That's a lot of people in one membership. And it,
wow.
Yeah.
Are most of the people associated with the membership, are they volunteering their time?
So we do have a lot of volunteers, but we always could use volunteers. A lot. So our members are racers, and they're out there racing, and we always need help doing different things, you know, whether it be tearing tickets at the front gate, or, you know, just keeping track of people, like security wise, or, you know, taking money at the back of front gates, or pushing cars onto scales, or different things. We always could use volunteers out there at the track. And the easiest way to do that is to contact us on our Facebook page, Douglas County Speedway.
Awesome.
Yes.
Well, that was super informative. And it just, I love how you guys wrap all of your events around something that's community oriented, that helps people out in our community. So that is absolutely wonderful. And we are actually going to be wrapping up the show here today. So thank you so much, Marty, for being on the show with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for all the wonderful information and to your service for the to the community.
Absolutely. That's our pleasure.
All right. And thank you to everyone out there who tuned in for our show today. Everybody be safe, be kind, and celebrate one another. Join us again here at the same place, News Radio 1240 KQEN, next week, 4 to 5 on Your Q, sponsored by Premier Insurance. Everyone have a wonderful rest of your day and a wonderful weekend. Thank you.